Chapter 3. Warship Lacrimae, Trans-Plutonian Region. The 7th Legion strike fleet plunged into the ragged ships coming from the dark. The Imperial fists were few, 30 against over 100, but the numbers did not matter. The 30 golden black armored warships struck the ragged fleet in a tapered cone. Broadsides battered down the attackers' few active void shields, and lances sliced at their engines. The enemy ships began to tumble, their momentum pushing them forwards even as they spun over and over. At the tip of the Imperial Fists formation, three ships cut between the enemy vessels. They were the three Sisters of Spite, and at their head, trailing the fire of her engines like a wound cut across the dark, was the Lacrimae. Fire crashed after her and her sisters, cutting the empty void as she plunged deeper and deeper into the cloud of enemy ships. Behind her, her sisters began to loose boarding torpedoes. Schools of silver darts the size of Habspires slid from launch tubes on jets of flame. Each torpedo held a contingent of warriors in the rattling dark of its hollow core. In the belly of the Lacrimae, Sigismund stood in silence at the edge of the launch bay. The words of his oaths threaded through his mind as he wrapped the links of chain around his wrist and pulled them tighter. The largest of the enemy ships grew in his eye, its shape projected across the eyepiece of his helm. It was vast, an ugly block of metal. Craters pitted one side of its hull, as though it had borne the brunt of a storm of asteroids. It was still a warship, though, no matter how wounded. Macro batteries fired down the vessel's length, even as Sigismund looked at it. A moment later, he felt the Lacrimae tremble as it rode the edge of a blast wave. He tightened and fastened the last link of chain, and then raised his blade, feeling its balance settle in his grasp.
"Is it secure enough yet that you will not drop it?" growled a voice from behind him.
He glanced, and in his clear eye, the face of Ran grinned at him. His armor was clean, but the marks and dents of battle still marred the yellow lacquer. Sigismund nodded at Ran, but did not answer as he rose from where he had knelt on the deck. He looked behind him. 100 Templars rose as one. Ran's chosen, his head takers, stood in loose order beside them. The air rang as they beat their fists against their battered shields. The air was keening with the rising whine of engines. Servitors and serfs were moving back from the dozen gunships. Fuel lines were snapping free of wings. Heat was shimmering across the deck as thrusters lit. Sigismund looked at his strike force, moving his eyes across each legionary. Then he raised his sword in salute, turned and strode to the waiting gloom of his gunship. The warriors followed.
"So, this is the day, brother," growled Ran from his shoulder, as they swung up the gunship's assault ramp.
He could hear the snarled grin in the words. Sigismund gestured, and the hatch began to close. The frame of the gunship began to tremble as it strained against its tethers.
"Launch,"
he said into the vox. The sound of engines rose, and then gravity hammered through them as the gunship streaked out into the void. Primary Communication Array Control, Hydra Moon Fortress, Plutonian Orbit.
"All systems and connectivity functioning within ordained tolerances."
Captain Corro of the Imperial Fists acknowledged the primary Magos's drone with a nod, but did not look up from the tactical displays.
"Ensure that signal priority is given to fire coordination and the link with Lord Sigismund's fleet." "It is so commanded and ordained,"
clattered the Magos from its place in the roof above Corro's head. 12 Magi oversaw the operation of Hydra's primary communication array. Suspended in webs of cable around the machine column at the center of the chamber, wrapped in tattered red shrouds, they resembled chrysalises hanging from the branches of a tree. They did not have individual names, and the designation primary shifted between them. Together, they existed to oversee Hydra's vast communication and sensor systems. Everything from vox communication to fire control coordination and AuSpex readings passed through these 12. That data, and the systems which created it, were dispersed across the moon. But this was the point through which all data had to flow. Sited beneath the dish of the largest array, it was a quiet place for all of the voices that passed through it. Corro glanced at his sergeant. 10 of his company elites were with him in the control chamber, silent and watching from the edges of the walls.
Full lockdown is complete?
Yes, Captain.
One ship docked before the lockdown. A monitor craft bearing Astropas from Terra, but all other traffic has ceased.
Good, Coro said, and moved his gaze to where the dull grey of plasteel blast shutters closed off the view of the moon's surface. Jutting out from the crust of structures, the array control had clear sight into the void. Sometimes you could see the light of the fleet engaging if they were close. Coro had watched from here many times as his brothers fought in the void. This time, though, he had heard the words of the alert signal. Fire on the mountains. He felt his fingers flex without consciously willing them to, and realized he had bared his teeth at the shuttered view. An alert light blinked at the edge of his sight. He frowned and turned, as one of the servitors, wired into the banks of consoles, turned its face from side to side like a dog sniffing the air.
External sensors detecting movement on surface, droned the servitor.
Which zone? Asked Coro.
The servitor twitched, mouth chewing the air, and then spoke.
This zone. Primary communication array exterior.
Coro's eyes locked on the blast shutters. Cold slid across his skin. His heart skipped into a lower rhythm as he drew his weapons. His command squad were already moving, weapons lowered, fanning out across the chamber.
Give me the status of the exterior auto weapons, he called. Exterior weapons 11 through 24 are reading as active but not responding to direct command. Give me a visual.
The shutters blew inwards. Coro's helmet visor dimmed with the flash of the explosion. His world seemed to pause, the blast unfolding before him with all the gradual delicacy of a slowed picked feed. A point in the center of a shutter glowed red, then yellow, then white. The glow of heat raced across the gray metal as the center bulged inwards and then burst. A hollow cone of blue-hot liquid reached inwards. Servitors and machines ignited beneath its path. A shockwave formed in concentric rings, shimmering as they distorted the air. Time snapped back into full flow. The blast hit Coro and slammed him backwards. Heat blew through the front layers of his armor. His helmet display became a cascade of red damage runes. Debris and glowing pellets of metal spun through the air. Servitors and blocks of machinery ripped from the floor. Coro hit a pillar, spun to the deck, and rose in time to see the first figure come through the breach in the shutters. Bolt rounds were spitting across the chamber as the air rushed out into the void. Warriors of his command squad were already firing into the glowing wound. Coro braced to fire. A shape came through the breach. It moved so fast that Coro saw only a blur of cold blue armor and a flash of a blade cutting the light of gunfire. The spear struck him below the sternum, punching through armor and up through his left heart. He fell, his sight a blur, his throat filling with his own blood as he tried to rise. A figure stood above him, holding the spear, transfixing his chest. The pressure down the blade was like the weight of a mountain, though the armored figure seemed relaxed, as though he were doing nothing but resting his hand on the weapon's haft. Coro noted the indigo blue of the armor and the Hydra coiling over one shoulder guard.
Alpha Legion, he thought,
his mind struggling to focus as his body fought to stay alive. The figure pulled the spear free and was gone. Gunfire streaked the air above him. He could hear the sound of detonations and the shriek of a melter gun rising above the rush of escaping atmosphere. Then the gunfire slackened, and suddenly the sound of battle ceased. Somehow that sudden quiet was worse than anything else. He pushed himself up. His remaining heart was still beating, struggling to pump blood even as it poured out of him. His armor was critically damaged, a dead weight on his failing frame. Above him, the 12 tech priests hung in their cocoons of cables. Corpses covered the floor, servitors blasted to shreds of meat and metal, and amongst them, figures clad in yellow power armor. Blood sheened them all, pumping free from the stumps of severed limbs and punctured torsos. Four Alpha Legion warriors stood in the ruin, three of them moving amongst the dead, eyes and weapons searching for signs of life. The figure with the spear stood still at the center of the carnage.
"Remove them,"
said the warrior, looking up at the magi suspended from the ceiling. The other Alpha Legion turned and fired into the 12 tech priests. Bolt shells ripped through cables and red robes. Black oil and blood spilled down, pattering on the metal deck. Corro had his bolter in his hand. That fact was all that mattered. Not the blood that was filling his lungs, not the shame of failure, not the shock of the enemy he was facing. "Find the backup controls for the array," said the warrior with the spear, his voice carrying over the howl of escaping air. "Send the signal to the attack fleet that the time has come for us to show our hand." "By your will, Lord Alfarius," said one of the others with a nod. Alfarius. The thought began, then ended, as Corro cut it away. All that mattered was lifting his bolter and squeezing the trigger, just as he had countless times before. The gun came up, steady in Corro's bloody hand. Alfarius turned, moving and spinning the spear. A blur of silver and blue was the last thing that Corro saw. Unknown intruder vessel, Trans-Neptunian region.
"Breach!"
roared Ram, as the melter charge detonated. Droplets of glowing metal sprayed out as the bulkhead door dissolved. Sigismund came through into the space beyond. A thick spray of hard rounds greeted him. He charged. The streaked walls of the passageway were a blur at the edge of his sight. Figures loomed in his helmet display, sketched in the monochrome of dark vision. He saw bloated muscle beneath blank iron masks and machine-braced limbs wrapped around rotor cannons. The nearest figure dragged the barrel towards him. Rounds danced across the deck as Sigismund leapt across the distance. He took the masked figure with a backhanded blow that carved through its mask and sliced through the skull and brain beneath. The figure fell backwards, rotor cannon shrieking as its spinning barrels hit the deck. Sigismund was already past the corpse, turning momentum from his killstroke into a rising cut that took the next enemy in the side and tore up through its torso. Ran was beside him, axes hacking and weaving as they advanced down the corridor. They were already deep within the intruder ship, and there was no doubt that it was hostile. But something was wrong, something that itched down his muscles, even as he carved through those who came to face them. There was something dulled, almost clinical about the ship. They'd taken hundreds of intruder ships in the last years, and their insides had crawled with the signs of madness. Not this ship, though. Its darkness was cold and empty, as though it were a skin over something unseen. "Lord Sigismund!" The voice sounded in his helm, laden with static from its journey across the void from the Lacrimae and through layers of hull armour. "Speak," replied Sigismund, pulling his sword free of a corpse. The corridor was clear, the sound of gunfire and crack of weapons suddenly absent. Darkness and silence stretched ahead of him.
"Boarding groups across the battlesphere are reporting moderate resistance, but some have found nothing."
"Explain," he commanded.
15 of the enemy ships are empty, 0 resistance. Engines running, but no sign of crew besides servitors."
Sigismund paused, suddenly feeling the weight of his sword in his hand. The silence of the passage pressed around him, even as his assault team moved up next to him.
"Pull them back,"
he said into the vox.
"My lord,"
came the voice of the officer, a burst of static chopping through the words.
"All assault forces, pull them back to our ships now."
The static rose again.
"Confirm."
Sigismund turned to Ran.
"Pull back to the gunships. Immediate full withdrawal."
Ran nodded, and the vox clicked as though he were about to speak. Static shrieked and boiled across the channel. Sigismund felt his sword rise, pulled up by a cold instinct running under his skin. Green eyes lit in the dark. The air buzzed as armor activated. Lightning shivered down claws and blades as hulking figures stepped from the dark. Plasma lanced down the corridor. Sigismund was moving, sword already a blur as he ran to meet the enemy. Ran was calling out for a shield wall, and the dark was gone as fire and the roar of the ambush tore the silence apart. Trans-Neptunian region. The Alpha Legion attack fleet spun from the dark. 200 warships, each of them falling end over end like a swirl of dry leaves blowing through the night. In their path, Pluto loomed, its face sparkling with the flash of weapons and the streak of engine fires as warships engaged in battle. If an eye or sensor had looked out from one of the ships in that engagement, they would have seen only the open abyss of the interstellar gulf. The shine and wink of distant stars would have seemed bright and cold. What light there was might have caught a drift of dust or the edge of a lump of ice-bound rock. Looking deeper, it might have seen a glimmer of movement, and noted the thin light snagging on a sharp edge of something jagged and vast, arching slowly closer. Then the first engine fired, bright and true in the black, and then another, and another, and the tumbling mass of ships were no longer falling, but spinning into formation, engines roaring to full life, void shields snapping into place, weapons turning to find targets as a battle fleet 100 strong fell out of the sky at the edge of the sun's light. The Imperial Fists fleet saw them. Already engaged with the intruders who had closed on Pluto, now they were facing a second and vastly more deadly enemy. Signals snapped between Sigismund's warships. Snatches of confused shouts and static flooded the Vox. Orders barked back and forth. Ships already engaging the intruder fleet began to turn to meet this new threat. The battle barge Alpha fired its first volley. A full payload of torpedoes launched from its prow. A mountain range of guns on its back hurled fire across the dark. Bombardment cannons punched shells out one after another, building-sized breaches ringing as they slammed open to swallow the next shell. The rest of the Alpha Legion fleet spoke a second later. Fire raced ahead of the ships as they bore down on where the Imperial Fists vessels had moved to engage the first wave of intruders on the edge of Pluto's orbit. The first ship to die was the Judgment's Intercession. It was an old ship, a dark-hulled grand cruiser with scars from hundreds of battles that had failed to claim it. Macro shells exploded across its void shields. They crumpled, bursting like the skin of a soap bubble. Lance beams stabbed through the clouds of debris and struck the Intercession along the length of its gun decks. Blocks of armor melted. The grand cruiser fired back, half-blinded by the cloak of boiling gas wreathing its hull. Batteries howled into the inferno. Shells struck the shields on the oncoming Alpha Legion fleet. Then the second volley hit. The Judgment's Intercession exploded, cleaving in two as though struck by a god's axe. The Alpha Legion fleet fired in concert, ships pouring their volleys together, cutting into the engaged Imperial Fists formation. The defenders of the first sphere of Sol began to die. Those nearest the newly appeared Alpha Legion fleet vanished as deluges of energy and explosions struck them. Shields and armor crumpled, reactors breached, and spheres of white plasma burst into being, racing out like hungry suns. 10 Imperial Fists ships were already stains of light and debris when the first salvos of torpedoes hit. Haywire warheads detonated against the hull of the battlecruiser Arcadian, darkening its sensors and shields. 3 double-stage warheads hit seconds later, sliding past the Arcadian's silent defense turrets and slamming into its central mass. Melter charges reduced its armor to white-hot liquid, an instant before the secondary charges sent the molten metal lancing into the ship's guts. Pressure waves rippled through the corridors, blowing out hatches and crushing crew, even as it stole the air from their lungs. The ship slewed sidewise, nose dropping from its path of flight as it burned from its core outwards. The Imperial Fists ships came around, raking fire at every target within reach of their guns. A battered intruder was caught between the guns of 4 frigates and torn apart by macro cannon fire. A pair of Alpha Legion gunboats tried to cut into the engine wake of a squadron of light cruisers and ended in a splash of plasma and hull fragments. Within the ships that had been boarded, the Imperial Fists made their way back to their gunships. The Alpha Legion emerged from the dark to cut them off. The Imperial Fists fought on, pushing through explosions and gunfire, armor and boarding shields shedding sparks with each step. Then the 12 fireships, hidden amongst the intruders, exploded. Hulls packed with munitions and plasma reservoirs became expanding stars of blue and white light. Waves of energy engulfed ships, smothering their shields and swallowing their hulls. Heat blasted through cracks in armor, human crew roasted at their stations, oil and fuel ignited, and the fires raced on, tearing air from the lungs of the living, blowing through hatches and billowing through vents. Blackened ships emerged from the inferno, weeping burning atmosphere and sloughing armor. As the bulk of the Imperial Fists ships rolled amongst the blaze, the Acre battle group thrust from where it had been holding close to Pluto's outer orbit. Held back in case any of the intruder fleet broke through, the ships now kindled their engines to full burn and turned to meet the new enemy coming from the dark. The battle sphere was now a stretched ellipse, reaching from the edge of Pluto's orbit into the gulf beyond. Nearest to the planet, the bulk of the Imperial Fist's fleet was tangled amongst the ships that had first approached, while the Acre battle group raced to cut off the main Alpha Legion fleet before it could join the fight. Spreads of torpedoes and Nova shells kicked free of the Acre battle group as they closed with the Alpha Legion fleet. Vast explosions flared as the shells detonated. Waves of energy broke across shields and hulls. The battle group accelerated into the attack. At the front of the formation were the Warrior of an Unknown Sky, Stormwrought, and Victory's Son. They fired in synchronized volleys. A torrent of shells poured from their gun decks. Explosions wreathed the Alpha, blue, orange, and pink curtains billowing out from its side as the volleys slammed into its shields. High in the command castle of the battle barge, Silonius watched the confusion created by their assault spread and multiply in sculpted light and glowing markers. The battle sphere was a tangled mess. Hundreds of burning brawls between ships littered the hollow projection. The Imperial Fists were scattered across the void, some dying, many damaged, the remainder trying to find a target to fire on. Some of them were doing a lot of damage. Even as he watched, a trio of small ships cut across the nose of one of his vessels and broke its back with coordinated gunfire. The battle group that had moved out to meet the Alpha and its sisters were still together, but their target had dissolved before them, scattering into dozens of small squadrons like shrapnel flung from a bomb blast. Wherever the Imperial Fists tried to apply strength, the Alpha Legion moved in contradictory directions, lashing out with opportunist blasts of fire. It looked without shape, order, or pattern. It looked like slaughter and disaster. Silonius noted every detail and saw that everything was as it needed to be. He opened the signals channel to Hydra Moon Communication Control.
Lord Altharius, secondary phase is complete. Imperial Fist's ships are fully engaged. Our own force strength has degraded by 20%. Our numerical advantage is estimated at 200%. We are approaching range of the Moon Fortress guns. We await your word.
Proceed, said the voice of the Primarch.
By your will.
Alpha Legion ships turned from their courses and bore down on the orbits of Pluto. Kerberos was their first target. The Fortress Moon's guns opened up. The blackness of space vanished. Plasma annihilators and turbo lasers drained reactors and breathed star-hot fury at the closing ships. Shields flared and cut out, blinking away one after another. The Alpha Legion held course. They were known as a legion of stealth and guile, but they were still a legion, and in that moment they rode into the mouth of the guns like the angels of death they were crafted to be. Building-sized shells slammed into Kerberos, shattering its void shields and toppling gun towers. Dust shook from passage ceilings beneath the moon's crust. Kerberos's fire intensified, and the first Alpha Legion ship died, battered to flakes of metal and pools of gas. A beam of lasfire caught the strike cruiser Silver Serpent and carved the weapons and bridge from its back. It pitched over, bleeding into the atmosphere. A rolling volley struck it in mid-turn and ripped its spine open. But the rest of the fleet was close enough. Boarding torpedoes flew from prow launch tubes. Gunships boosted free of launch bays, spiraling as they danced through the flash and surge of explosions. Teleportation chambers flooded with ghostlight as hundreds of Terminators vanished and hurtled through the warp. The Alpha Legion ships flipped over and burned away from the teeth of Kerberos as their scattered payload struck home. The Imperial Fists had prepared for a boarding assault on the Fortress Moon. They had prepared with a thoroughness that was bred into their nature. Inside Kerberos was a labyrinth of passages, blast doors, and kill chambers. Teleport jammers had turned the warp into a jagged tangle of currents. A company of Imperial Fists, the 404th, the Lords of the Long Watch, garrisoned the Fortress Moon beside thousands of auxiliaries and battle servitors. All were ready and waiting as the Alpha Legion assault began. The Lernaean Terminator struck first, appearing in pillars of light, armor breathing warp mist and smoke. Many were out of position. Some materialized within the fabric of the fortress, and shockwaves roared out as overlapping matter collapsed in a scream of paradox. But many struck true. 500 of the Legion elite, clad in adamantium. They were the brutal edge of a legion known for subterfuge, but still made for slaughter. Blizzards of gunfire met them, rattling from their armor, strobing shadow over guns and blades. They fired back. Plasma streams, bolt rounds, melter beams, flame and cannon shot ripped through blast shields, poured down corridors and pulped bodies. The Lernaeans advanced, striding in time with the roar of their gunfire. Their targets were the moon's defense turrets. Sections of the defense network blinked out as servitor and sensor clusters were ripped apart. The boarding torpedoes slammed into Kerberos. Their snouts exploded, boring holes through the moon's skin as assault hatches unfurled. Warriors charged out, blazing and hacking through anything that moved. Across the moon, death laughed through the passages and outer chambers. In the primary docking trunk, a demi-company of Alpha Legion met 20 of the Imperial Fists garrison. 30 legionaries fell in the first second as heavy weaponry scythed through them. Units placed behind the Alpha Legion force cut them off and crushed them between two gun lines. But for every invader who fell, the Alpha Legion's fangs sank deeper into Kerberos. The squads already inside the station triggered the signal beacons they carried. Out in the void, a wave of gunships locked on to the signals and homed in. Stormbirds and storm eagles spiraled into captured hangars and wounds blown in the surface. Each of them carried a handful of legionnaires, but their true cargo were tech marines, forge masters, and servitor thralls. They moved with speed, machine cant buzzing between them as they made for captured fire control centers and key system nodes. All of them had a single purpose and order, passed to them by Silonius from the Primarch himself.
Turn the guns of Kerberos. Make them ours.